Hi, I'm Karina.
I'm Linda.
And we are the Linda Girls. I'm Karina Linda Via. And this is my mom.
Mm-hmm. I'm the mom.
The one that gave me my name. So I think our podcast really is just for us to connect on a basis. I think our schedules can be really hectic. So,
yeah, because I have kids. They're younger than you.
Yes.
So I often don't spend time with you because I'm too busy with the little ones.
Yeah. And so, I'm a university student. So I feel like it can be busy. And I feel like there's a lot of people my age demographic, millennial wise, that, how do I say, are more individualistic. And mm-hmm. So to me, whether this gets absolutely zero views, I think it's just a fun way for you and I to spend time together.
Yeah, to bond.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I think a lot of times I kind of neglect you because I'm busy with working full time.
Why do you feel that way?
Because often I feel like you feel like left out because we're all busy doing things. And then because you're the only kid your age. No, my husband and I were too old for you. And then the kids are too young for you. So you often are the one that I feel like sometimes we do, I do neglect you. So I do want to do more things with you. Mm. Because you're still my daughter and I still should be spending time with you.
Right. Well, I will say to that I don't feel neglected.
Okay.
That's so cool. Don't worry about it. I feel busy myself and I feel like I have a lot of goals this year that I haven't had before. I know, like, for a while I was depressed,
mm-hmm.
and that could be a whole other episode, like mental health stuff, but it's been a really, really long time since I personally have had goals, mm-hmm. and I feel like they're a lot attainable now with my maturity and my growth, and although it's kind of a long journey, like starting a podcast like this, it all mm-hmm. starts with a single step,
mm-hmm.
and I think every time we record, every time I learn how to edit, learn how to do digital marketing, things like that, I'll get better each and every time.
Mm-hmm.
But if I hide behind the obstacle where it's like, oh my gosh, like there's so many things to do and like, where do you even start and X, Y, and Z? Like, I remember like for this, I was so hung up behind a logo. Like I couldn't start because I couldn't think of a logo design. So that was the thing that I was like, oh, well,
mm-hmm.
like we can't do it without a logo, so mm-hmm. that sucks. So I really in this year want to take the mentality of just doing it by faith and not letting little things, little obstacles prevent you from moving forward at all.
So why do you want to do it? Why was it important to you that we start this little project, you and I?
So for us, what I was thinking is I think you and I have had very interesting lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think personally, our lives had a lot of different hardships from different perspectives. And I think it's interesting how generational traumas can repeat themselves at times. And I think, considering that our lives, I think if we were to describe them, people might not believe us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because it does sound like a movie sometimes, but I also feel like it'd be inspirational mm-hmm. to any listeners. If not inspirational, then a really interesting story. And if nobody listens, then it's a way for you and I to connect and deepen our relationship, not as like a mother-daughter authoritative figure, but as a woman to a woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, as I think, as a mother, it's sometimes really hard for us to let go, and to some degree we want to make sure that you're okay. And sometimes I think, like, as parents, we put our dreams or our hopes on our kids that they're gonna do better than us, and we put so much pressure on the young kids to do, okay, you have to do A, B, and C in order for you to be successful. There's no other way out. And then we add to the young people depression because we're telling you, you have to make all these decisions so right away. And if you don't fit this little box category, if you don't fit in there, then there's something wrong with you. And in reality, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just our mentality as parents. But yeah. So anyways, well, it's hard to let go.
I am not a parent yet, but I imagine, like, as a parent, you've struggled being a young adult yourselves. You've already have done that. And you just are at this place where it's like you have like a marriage and a house and you check all the adult boxes. Mm-hmm. And it is hard for people my age to obtain those things, like buy property in California. Mm-hmm. I know people my age have a really difficult time dating at the moment with all of the dating apps and whatnot. I think there's a lot of generational differences. And whereas our parents want us to have what they have, that like American dream, white picket fence, that's not attainable for us anymore. And so we have to define what that successful life looks like for our generation, which is completely different to our parents. And they'll be like, what? What do you mean you want to be a podcaster? What does that mean? What is that?
Yeah, it's true.
But I think things are a lot better with my sister, because right now she is considered Gen Alpha. She's 9 years old. So what are like the differences that you notice raising me versus raising my sister?
Well, for one, this is my second marriage. So my first marriage with your dad, I did go through a divorce and, you know, we had ups and downs with him, and you were in the middle of your father and me, your biological dad and me. And it was not a really easy divorce. So, but I think you somehow got in the middle of the war zone. And I think that's a big drama for kids. And with Devin Andrew, my second marriage is more stable in every single way, emotionally, financially, everything is just much easier. My husband also helped me a lot with those two kids. They are heavily involved with sports and they do a lot of activities and we spend a lot of time with them. You also taking the role like it's like a like another mom to them because they have so much respect for you. They both look up to you. Mm. So I think that's the difference. I think for me at the time with you, I was a younger parent and I was chasing my own dreams and doing my own thing at the same time as I was raising you. But with Evan Andrew, I'm not chasing any dreams anymore. I already have my degrees. I have my job. I have my marriage. I have, you know, we just more stable in many ways. And I think the struggles that I had with you at the time, I don't have the same struggles with them. And the fact that you helped me and my husband helps me with those two kids, it's just much easier. I feel like I'm a much better parent because I'm more patient and I'm not stressing out over little things that I was before. Mm-hmm. So I think with you, it was more like, go, 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 go. Okay, we need to go here. We need to go there. And it was always so in a rush, everything. And I was like more relaxed. I feel like I can enjoy more being a parent now. Not that I not enjoy when I was your mom. Right. I did enjoy having you too. And I tried to do the best that I could, like, you know, try to read to you a lot and try to bring little friends, neighbors, friends, make parties so you can have little friends your age.
Yeah.
I would always try to create parties where I invite the
neighborhood kids.
Yes, to come and have parties with us just to have you have kids around your age. And
you know, speaking of that real quick, I find that you're a lot more guarded with my siblings versus me. Because I do remember you, like, organizing things. I remember you were, like, the manager of an apartment complex. Mm-hmm. And we would have, like, these, like, ice cream parties and things for the tenants. And, like, I would, like, go bicycle with these sisters that were mm-hmm. also in our neighborhood. And then I would go to my friends' houses a lot. But with my siblings, you're very guarded. You don't let them go to friends' houses unless you're present. And mm-hmm. they've never been to a sleepover.
Oh, no. No. Yeah, I think that's... Yeah. That's just like... it's about like learning and just learning, like sometimes I hear stories now, I hear stories from different people and it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I like getting a sleepover at so-so friends. But with Evan and Andrew, I just like, okay, you know, they're too little. I don't know. It's just a different times.
Yeah, but I would think like you're really guarded with your first child.
I thought it was.
Like later on, like the last child is like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
but no. It's kind of the reverse effect right now.
Yeah, kind of. But I have to say, Karina, I like when I would leave your places normally, it was with friends that you have from your school.
Yeah.
Or it was because I had to go to work or I had to go to college, but it was never for me to go nightclubbing or anything like that. It was always because there was a reason why. So yeah, it's just different. It's just different, Karina.
You know, I would think what you said earlier about being more stable, not chasing your dreams with your second kids. It's like planting seeds in an established garden already.
Kind of.
And I remember you asked me one time, or I think it was a conversation I had with a therapist too, where we discussed the topic of like jealousy and rivalry. And I remember the conversation came up that was like, are you jealous of your siblings? You know, for being an only child for so many years, you had your mom all to yourself. Now you have step siblings. In addition to that, now you have younger half siblings and their lives are a lot more calmer, stable, lovelier than yours, which was super tumultuous. Do you have any resentment? And I had to think about it. And I don't know if it's because I'm a simple person or a very lovely person, but I remember saying like, no, like not even like a thought of resentment crossed my mind. Like the fact that my siblings are so well taken care of gives me peace of mind because I would be absolutely distraught if I had to like leave to college and I knew I was leaving my two little siblings behind in this same tumultuous environment that I grew up in. I wouldn't be able to leave in peace. You know what I mean? So the fact that my siblings are well taken care of, to me, that's a blessing.
And I also think like that's why I always think like nobody should have kids in their 20s.
Especially why do you teens. Say that?
Because I think you're a different person in you're a different person in your 30s than you're in your 20s. And I think that's why I think a lot of people should just wait until their 30s until they get your life in order. And you have the success that you think you have because everybody has a different success in their mind. Whatever you think is success for you, then have kids. When you're financially kind of stable, then have kids because then you can enjoy your kids and you have a different mentality, you know? And I think when you're in your 20s, you're still like not confident. You're still finding your own way. You're still finding who you are as an individual and you're still raising a little kid you're raising a little kid. So it's much difficult. So I, that's why I think I'm a different parent now because no, God, I'm not even in my 30s anymore. I'm in my 40s. So it just, you just grow every year, every 10 years, you just grow. You just become a more, I think, better individual.
I think that being in your 20s personally feels like being an adult teenager. like being an adult teenager, like you have all of the responsibilities of an adult, but you still are transitioning from a teenager into your adult body and into your adult brain. Like the brain, I believe, doesn't fully develop till 25 to 27. So I feel like in my early 20s, like I've made so many mistakes. And I personally could not fathom having to raise someone and raise myself at the same time. Like even raising a little dog was really hard.
It is hard. Raising any other human being, whether it's an animal or a person, it's the same thing.
I will say, to get to the heart of our episode, which is an introduction and the Linda Girls podcast, maybe we should tell our viewers why we decided to name it the Linda Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My middle name is Linda. My middle name is Linda. And then I put you as your middle name, Linda. And then our little girl, my little girl that's 9, she also, her middle name is Linda. So I don't know why. I just want to put Linda on my 2 girls, just because I think Linda's just, it's a name that's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I just thought my 2 girls were beautiful. So that's why I put Linda as a middle name for both of you.
Right. But what does being Linda mean to you?
A beautiful person. I just think you two are a very beautiful person inside and out.
To you specifically.
But I don't understand.
Like, okay, grandma named you with the middle name Linda. Mm-hmm. And clearly that has some form of importance, the fact that you wanted to endow your daughter with the same name.
Because I don't know. It just, Linda just means it's beautiful. Like, it's just like a very peaceful name, like
intuitive.
Yeah.
Well, I will say the Linda name to me, and just so you know, spoiler alert in the future, if I ever have a daughter, I intend to name her middle name Linda.
Oh, that would be funny.
So it'll be multi-generation.
That would be funny.
But to me, Linda, I think the definition does mean like a beautiful person. Mm-hmm. But for me, I translate it to having a beautiful soul. Because at the end of the day, like, beauty fades, but your virtue is forever. And I think that was a concept that took me a long time to get to, because growing up, I always felt like my mom was really pretty. And like, she would do her makeup in the morning and blow dry her hair every morning. And I didn't have the same motivation to put into my looks. And to me, that was like what a woman does. That's like femininity. And so instead of falling into that box of femininity, I kind of had to create my own form of femininity. And that was a Linda woman is someone that is soft and gentle and kind in a world that would harden other people. And to remain, especially with my depression story, to be able to laugh and to smile and to remain a soft, open, vulnerable heart in a very hard world is a huge superpower. And if you're able to do that, you are a Linda woman.
True.
That is my humble opinion. And I see it a lot in my sister now, her also being a Linda girl. I know you say she's a tomboy, but to me, she's a tough little girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure, Karina. That is for sure.
Well, do you want to do like a brief intro of who you are and a little bit about your life?
Yeah, sure. So I was born here in California, but later on in life, I was taken to Mexico as a little girl, and then came back as a teenager and had to learn the language from scratch. I forgot whatever little bit I knew. So so that was really hard. You know, in Mexico, I was for some years in an orphanage. And then I came here back as, I think it was 13 or 14 years old when I came back. And the struggle with the language was really difficult. So getting my bachelor's degree took me like, I don't know, 9 years because I was struggling with the language. I did get my bachelor's degree in accounting eventually. And then also even when I graduated, my struggle with the language was a big barrier to get those good accounting jobs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but it's just like really hard. Like, I think anything you go through life, it's worth it because I think when you go to your low points in your life, you learn the most. You know, like, I think the worst years of my life was like in my teenagers, like 14, 15, because, you know, I was living from house to house. Like, you know, I was living with different relatives, sometimes renting little places, sleeping in the kitchen floor. Well, I was going to high school and then still getting a job, and I was still working, and I would figure out to get from A to B, from getting from at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to school, then from the school, getting the city bus to go to work. I didn't speak English when I was working in Kibbs. I was working in a restaurant, in a fast food restaurant, and I didn't speak the language. So I just learned the basic stuff that I needed to survive. That's all I did. But I always managed to find people to like me, and always managed to find people that was nice to me, even though I couldn't speak English well. But anyhow, I guess the point is, one thing that I have learned through my life is, like, whatever struggles you go through life, don't worry about it. They're temporary. You're not going to be in the same situation all your life.
Right.
It's just this moment of your life, and that moment of my life, that was what I needed to do to survive, and I survived. There was a lot of drugs involved. There was a lot of, around me, there's a lot of people doing drugs. There's a lot of people doing alcohol, smoking. And I remember that I would always tell myself, you know, I'm not going to do A, B, and C. That's the only thing I have control. I have control of the things that I do. And I'm not going to mess with drugs. I'm not going to mess with that. I'm not going to get pregnant. I always try to put boundaries on myself. Like, this is what I expect from you. We're not going to do that. We're going to go to school. We're going to pass our classes, and we're going to graduate high school one day, and we're going to go to college, and we're going to change things around. And I did. And I think it's true for anybody that are going through struggles in life. It's like, whatever it is, the longer you have life, you can overcome. Every day becomes easier. And every day you find hope to get out of the situation you're in. I was put in that situation for whatever reason, but I've managed to get out. And the only thing you can do is control the things that you do have control. The rest, you don't have control. I didn't have control where I was put in, but I had the control of things I could do. So if you manage to be depressed, like, because you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, there's always going to be a light. Just hang in there and you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, do your part. That's all you can do, is do your part. And you're going to be able to be okay. Even when I was going to college, I remember a lot of people would tell me, you're not smart, you're stupid, you don't even speak English. Some people around me. And they might be right. They probably were right. But it didn't matter, because I believe in myself. And I managed to pass classes, and I just kept passing classes. And, like, little by little, it was a big mountain I had to climb, but little by little, I feel like I was climbing. The more you climb the mountain, the more difficult it is to give up.
Yeah, because you've already gone up.
You've gone this far. You still have a lot more to go, but you've already gone this far. You're not going to let go. So keep working. Believe in yourself. So it really doesn't matter what other people think about you. It matters what you think about yourself. And then I graduated. I'm the only one and the first one in my family to go to college, in my immediate family. And I was happy, because even though I didn't have any role models, I didn't have anybody that can follow, that I can ask for advice. So I probably made a lot of mistakes along the way. But I think it's important to if you see, like, for example, the way I used to see it, my mom was struggling all the time, couldn't find decent jobs, and always struggling. So it's like, okay, what's the other way around? Maybe if I get an education, that will get me out of poverty. Like, because not getting an education, I'm going to be, like, struggling like my mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, okay, but if I go to college, maybe I have a better chance to survive. And that's what I did. So I there's a lot of people that are out there willing to help you and guide you. There's counselors, there's teachers, there's professors. They're there. They want to help. They want to see students succeed. So you just have to ask. You have to put yourself out there. Like, I knew from the beginning, like, I'm going to struggle with this class because I don't speak English, but I would go to the tutoring center for the beginning of semester and get all my tutors. And I would do my homework with the tutors.
Right.
You know, like, I knew that. I knew that was my weakness, the language barrier. So, like, I'm going to do that. Like, one thing I didn't never struggle with math. I was always good at math because math is universal. There's no language for that. But so I was okay with that. So it's just, if you want to go to college, you want to do something with you can do it. You can just, you find your way. If you want to do it, you're going to find your way. If you don't want to do it, you're going to find
excuses.
100 reasons why you cannot do it.
Yeah.
But for me, going to college was worth it.
What do you do now?
I work as I'm doing accounting, accounts payables. I'm an accounts payable leader. I'm working for a great company. I'm not going to say the name, but it's a wonderful company. I feel very blessed to be working with them. But it's just, you know, I don't know. You know, so that's my story. Like, I don't know. Life is full of surprises. I'm in life right now, Kaina, where I never thought I could be. Like, if you would ask me 15 years ago, your life is going to be like this, I would laugh. Like, there's no way.
Like, if you were to go to your 10-year-old self in the orphanage and say, one day you're going to live in one of the biggest, nicest cities in California, and you're going to marry an English man
from Europe,
and you're going to live in a beautiful two-story house, like...
Even in the orphanage, living in an orphanage was really sad because you have one teacher that takes care of like 30 kids. So, of course, you're not going to get the love. It's impossible for the per individual to be able to give you. There were great people, but it's impossible for them to give you love. So as an orphanage and with my little brothers, I had to take care of them. So as a 10, 11 years old, I had to become like a little mom to them. And it's, how can you be a mom when you're a little kid yourself? So I'm so pretty sure I made a lot of mistakes with them. But, it's really hard. It's really hard. But that was what I was given. And you have to not live in the victim mindset, because then you find excuses not to do anything with your life. So that was a deck of cards I was dealt with. And you have to do the best that you can. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And I don't regret anything that I've been through. Nothing, because I learned so much from every single situation. And I think that's what makes you who you are at the end. All those struggles, all those difficulties, because the lowest points where you learn the best. And if you don't go to the lowest point of your life, then you don't appreciate what you later on you have in life. If everything is given to you, you don't appreciate it.
Yeah, I would say that's true. I think it's really motivational to be able to stand up from your lowest points. Because I think a lot of people, myself included, forget that you have the ability to stand up. Because if you get knocked down on the ground so hard, like where your like body leaves an imprint on the ground, it's really hard to remind yourself that you have the ability to get up when you've been on the ground for so long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you do so, but yeah, but things would always get better. Things will get better. So I think everyone has to have goals in their lives. You have to wake up and you have to set goals. If you don't have goals, Karina, it's really hard to do much with your life. Mm. You have to have goals. And if you don't have goals, your soul will die. You have to have hope. You know, you have to have goals every day. You have to say, okay, even if you're like, if you work as a janitor, be the best janitor possible. If you're a cleaner, be the best cleaner as possible. Whatever you do in life, whatever you do, try to be the best. Compete with yourself and be the best that you can be, whatever position you have, whatever you do, do the best that you can.
I would just say, sorry, I'm going to edit that part out because Andrew is in it. Okay. I would say, on that line of thinking, because sometimes being the best is not everyone's goal. I know it's not mine, but I will say there is a quote that really resonates with me on that line of thinking. And that is, whether I am in hell or in heaven, I make my own paradise.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever you are, as long as you can find peace, I think that is a life worth living. You know, that's success in my book. If you can have a peaceful life, you're successful.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever, like my dreams or my success could be totally different to yours.
Yeah.
And I think as a parent, my job is to help you, help my three kids find their success in their own way.
Yeah.
And that's it. But just for me, it's important for me to people to go to college. For me, that's important. For me, that's success. But it might not be for you. You might not think that's important. I don't know. But for me, it is important because I think like having the language barrier and not being educated, I think I would struggle a lot more just to have a respectable job or to make it, to raise you or to be able to be able to get out of poverty.
You think education is the answer to that?
For me, it was.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I didn't know any other way. Like all my life, I was really broke with my, we always really broke with my mother. We were always living in the projects. We were always very poor in every single way. And for me, one thing I didn't see in my surrounding was people with an education. So I wanted to know, I knew this part, this side. I know how to live poor and how not to have, to have a little bit of hope to succeed in life. But then I just thought, okay, well, what about if I get an education? Maybe I'll learn a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
I will go into a different world that no one in my family knows about. And maybe it's just some hope. Maybe there's better things. I know there's some people that get degrees and they don't find jobs. They struggle too. Like, so I know they get a degree. It's a myth. They having a degree, you're going to be successful. I know it's a myth. I know a lot of people that don't have a degree. They're very successful in their careers. Like they're business owners in restaurants and they're owners in other fields and they're very successful. So you don't have to have a degree to be successful. That's for sure. But for me, I think it was important just because I never saw that in my family. And I just wanted to see how was it to be on the other side, to be with the educated people. I wanted to be that kind of people. I wanted to touch those kinds of people that were educated and had those more important positions. Like, I want to be like one of those. And for me, that's what that was important.
It reminds me of what you say whenever I get frustrated with my own educational journey, where it's like putting in all of this work for a piece of paper at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's how it feels like when you're frustrated, especially after like you've had a bad quiz, that it's like, oh, all of this for a piece of paper. And I would remember that you would tell me like, it's not the piece of paper, you're investing in your brain. Like anything could be taken away from you, but knowledge never can. You know what I mean? Like once you learn something, you learn that thing. So investing in education is very much like investing in yourself. And that could be done through an institution like a university, or that could be self-learning, self-taught, as long as you learn like a high value skill. But investing in yourself does constitute education.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It's not about the piece of paper at the end. It's about the journey getting there.
No, the most important thing that I think is more valuable is not the piece of paper that you get at the end. It's the process. The process that is the one that transforms you, your mentality, your way of thinking. It just changes you. And that's what's more valuable than the piece of paper. Mm-hmm. It's a transformation. You know, telling the employers, you can give me a project, I can complete it from start to end because mm-hmm. I've done it before. With my classes that I have passed. Yeah. You're telling the employer, I can get up and go do a job. I can get up and go to work every day.
At the same time.
Yeah, I can complete a project if you give me a project. If you give me a task, I can do that. because I've done it over and over and over through my classes. So that's also, that's another thing that employers will get from, you know, you going to college, I think. But yeah, it's just, at the end of the day, it's just finding your way in life, you know, what's important to you and go for it.
Yeah.
If that's your life. And whatever you do right now will affect you and your future and your future kids. Your decisions now will affect your future in a good way or a bad way. Your choice.
And I never think about that being my age. I don't even think about kids at the moment. But that's what I love about the Linda Girls podcast, being multi-generational, is that it does put that perspective in place that literally the decisions you make affect your kids and your grandkids and their kids, because we mm-hmm. see it now. We see it with your mom, my mom, and myself. Mm-hmm. And one day my sister.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I'll go ahead and introduce myself, though, if you don't mind. It's not as interesting a story.
No, of course it's interesting.
But my name is Karina Linda, and I grew up in a small town in California, and I grew up, I was born into a hostile environment. I would say that I grew up alongside with fear. My first emotion that I can recall in my memory is fear. And I remember as a kid moving a lot. Like we would move away from our household, and then we would come back within a few weeks and then do it again and then come back. And so I kind of got used to just not being able to let my roots seep in. And I think that's why currently today I'm a very go with the flow person. I'm a very passive person. And I know our personalities don't mix. And I think that's why we could butt heads, is because you're very much like grab life by the horns of the bull and don't let go. Even if it tries to buck you off, don't let go. And I'm very much go with the flow, the path of least resistance, like water. And I think the reason why that is because in the first years of my life, I was not able to establish roots into a strong foundation. It was always uprooted, or it wasn't a strong foundation to begin with in the first place. So being able to pack up everything and go on a moment's notice is the reason why I very much like go with the flow. Don't have material possessions worth caring about. You are the only thing that's worth caring about. You and your relationships are the only thing that's worth caring about. And I think that's why I care mostly about people versus material objects.
Yeah, so we were, so my first marriage.
Yeah.
We used to leave.
Yeah.
Your father.
Yeah.
I think like seven times.
Several times.
15 years that I was with him.
Right.
Yeah. We was always escaping. And then we'll come back.
Oh. Because there
was promise to change. But then.
Right.
It didn't change.
That's me growing up into a woman. Now I know, yeah, like, so if a friend or if a partner promises to change, that words are pretty meaningless. And actions mean everything at the end of the day.
So don't ignore red flags, guys.
Don't ignore red flags. I think it'd be fun to
get in the habit of collecting red flags.
I want to collect as many as I can.
Things don't change.
I think it'd be fun to have an episode of like red flags to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like you've dated someone that is like physically and emotionally hostile. Mm-hmm. And I dated someone that was kind of like emotionally docile.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so two of the extremes, and both containing red flags.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, go back to me. DV was prevalent in growing up. I always thought that's just how men were. That's just how Mexican families are. You know,
and not everybody, you know, we shouldn't stereotype, because not all guys are the same. Like, there's some really nice Mexican guys out there.
I know, I'm sure. To me, being a Mexican girl, and this is my family, that's just the 1 + 1 = 2 in my little brain. Mm-hmm. So after that, my mom did eventually leave the relationship for good and remarried. And I was going from a tumultuous environment into a blended environment, which was also very tough for me. So I feel like I grew up and it was like, hey, adapt. We're moving. We're surviving. And then after that, it was like, okay, now we've settled to calmer shores, but now there's a whole other issue, which is you're a blended family. So now you share your mom. You're not an only child. And now you have a new paternal figure. And now you have a new household where you have to live with other people that you just met maybe a week ago, something like that. Mm-hmm. So that was hard for me to adjust to as a blended family. I think it was really difficult for everyone involved. And I think there was multiple instances where I thought, like this man is a really great man and my mom is a really great mom. But I did think that all of the external circumstances, because there were a lot, I thought maybe that would have broken this up, which was already such a beautiful thing. But it was just literally put to the test a lot. But once that kind of calmed and settled, and I had two siblings, and I became a sister for the first time, in my opinion, I didn't consider my step-siblings siblings at the time. And just because, again, I went from a solo child and a very needy child, truly. Like, I felt like you and I were attached to the hip because that's how it had to be. Mm-hmm. And now that's how I wanted it to be. That's what I was used to. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't feel like a sister till my half-siblings came along. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, my maternal instincts immediately flooded in. Like, I loved being a big sister. I remember I would carry my siblings around. I would feed them, put them to sleep. Like, and I would do it all really willingly. And it definitely awoken something in me where I did not know that motherhood could be an occupation. Just because my mother is always the type of woman that's like, go, go, go. Like, when's the next promotion? When's the next technical training? And to me, I was like, oh, I kind of like slow living, maternal energy, like child rearing. Like, that to me is nurturing energy, and being in that energy is very joyful. And that's, I think, like, at that age, I think I was like 12, that I like realized, like, oh, I want to be a mom one day. But then we enter high school, and I think, I mean, everyone has a difficult high school experience. Mine wasn't anything grievous to note about or anything positive to note about. It was just kind of like a very traditional, like, high school in a small town experience where, like,
you were a cheerleader.
I was a cheerleader. And there's a bit of, I was a cheerleader, but I remember I had to stop. It went really hardcore into education. And my mindset was, you know, my stepfather is very much into education. My father works for the school district, and my mom is really avid on education. And to me, I thought, like, I looked at the people around me, and I looked at, like, my small agricultural town, and I knew that this would be a nice life. It's a nice life for a certain type of people, but I felt like being in that energy would have stifled me, and I would have been very unhappy. So I knew the only way to get out of here was through education. And so I worked really hardcore the last 2 years of high school. I like joined clubs, and I did the volunteership opportunities, and I studied international baccalaureate courses, which stands the IB program. And it was fairly new in my high school, to the point where the teachers were not actually fully credited. And we didn't know that as students. So come graduation, we put in all of this work. I remember going to high school at 6 a.m. and coming back at 6 p.m. From zero period to after school program. And to put in all of that work. Come graduation, we were valedictorians. We had all of this cordage, all of the recognition. However, when it came to the credits themselves, we didn't have any of the credits. So I had to start general ed with everyone else. And I was behind. I felt like I was behind from people that took AP courses. And I like beat myself up for not taking AP courses and deciding to challenge myself and go for IB courses. And anyways, that's when my depression set in. That's when my relationship with school absolutely flopped. I used to be so invested in school and I used to love it. I used to study with vigor and with joy. I found joy in learning. And that just completely disappeared. Like, if you're in a relationship with someone that you love and that you think you're going to marry, and then you find out that they cheated on you and everything you put in doesn't amount to anything, it's hard to go back to that relationship and make it work. And so to me, like, my parents would be like, oh, just go to university. Like, you know, try school again. I'm like, I don't want to. Like, I've already been burned from the education system. And it hurts once you've been burned, you know what it feels like. And so you move your hand away from the fire. But I did in the end try to get back into university, and I've been to a couple universities. I could probably count them on one or two hands, because I was trying to see what would work out, like which programs I would be interested in, good in, which location geographically, is accessible to me. And, It was like a very much a hit or a miss, and it's a costly hit or miss. Okay. Because whether you get a grade or not, you still have to pay the tuition that semester. So if you don't know what you want to do, don't go to college yet. Like, really figure it out. Take your general ed, because to just say, oh, I don't know, and see what works, you had to pay tuition those semesters. But now I feel like, now I feel that I'm truly on the proper career and education path that I've set on, that I've worked with my academic counselors on. And to me, I have a lot to go. Like, I'm halfway up the hill. And to me, I am an adult student. Like, sometimes I'll go to my classes and all of them look like 18-year-olds. And I feel like I'm the oldest person in the room. I know I'm not, but I feel that way. And it hit me that, oh, that university experience of getting to move out and, you know, be 18, live in the dorms, that was never going to be me. And that was never going to be my life. And I was really invested in the experience aspect, what I cinematically thought being a student should be. And that's what I had to dissect in therapy, is like, oh, this is what a student should be. Who said a student should be that? What gave you that impression? A student is someone that learns. And if that's what you're doing, you're a student. So dismantling just false, I guess, stereotypes that I made in my head of what a experience worth having should be was really important. That took therapy. I'm a lot healthier mentally, physically, emotionally than I've ever been, but I feel like I'm still working on it. There's still work to do. And although I found peace and happiness with the life that I have now, I have goals now, because I feel like I'm at a foundation where I can actually have goals and grow towards them. So although I'm very happy with my current situation, I feel like I can grow and prosper in a way that I was literally, since the beginning of my life, never able to do. And I feel like I can do that now, which is really cool.
It's just finding your way. You'll find your way. And you're not competing with anybody, by yourself.
That. Don't accidentally compete with people. Never. Like, if you have to, like, don't download the social medias. Because comparison is the thief of joy. Because there's always going to be people that are above you. But my mom would always tell me, like, as many people that there are above you, there's going to be the same amount of people that are below you that wish they were you right now.
Exactly.
But that's a little bit about us. I could see that my computer is going to die, so we should end the episode here.
Okay.
But we hope to see y'all next week, if there are any listeners. Hi. But right now, this is an introduction of who we are. If you relate or if you are curious, stay tuned for next week. But if not, we loved to have you here, and I loved getting to connect with you today, Mom.
Thank you. Me too, Greta. It's going to be your time.
Yeah.
Exactly. For us to bond.
Exactly.
Yeah. Perfect.
Goodbye.